Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com. Welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abousalbi. Samer, how are we doing today?
I am doing so well. Very excited for today's mix and our guest on the show. Why don't you tell our listeners all about her?
Yes. Katie Russell Newland is an author. She just came out with a book. Fairly recently called A Season with Mom, and we're going to be talking about the book and referencing the book throughout. She has a PhD in education from the University of Texas at Austin. She went to Trinity University with me, and I best remember her as the MVP of the intramural flag football season of, I think, 1997. I think you were pretty dominant in that season, Katie. But Katie Russell Newland, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
So A Season with Mom, it's a very unique book. I just finished it last night. I loved it. And I told you that before the show because I didn't want people to think I just come on the show and say, I loved it. I really want to just tell you, you know, one-on-one. But why don't you tell us about the book? It's a very uniquely written book, and you went on quite a journey to complete this book.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Thank you for reading it. It's a memoir in letters and photographs. And it's about a journey I took to see all 30 Major League Baseball ballparks in one season. It was a dream my mom and I had to do, and unfortunately, life got in the way, and we were unable to complete that dream. She passed away from cancer, and then 2 years later, I got cancer. And so when I completed my treatment, 2 years later, I thought, why haven't I done that thing we wanted to do? And I went out and did it. And so this book is a compilation of letters to my mom, one letter at each ballpark.
Yeah, and as a result, I think it reads really quickly. And I think, I started to count. I think I've been to maybe 9 or 10 ballparks across the country. But anyway, it was just kind of neat to see what the next letter, what you would talk about, you know, whether it'd be more baseball focused or life focused. And so it's really... it's a great book. It's a quick read. I recommend it to everyone, and we'll talk about it more. But you know, you put together this 12-song mix, almost like a little bit of a soundtrack to the book. And so let's get into it. The first song I thought was, you know, I'm listening to your mix as I'm also reading the book, and I was like, this is the perfect song. So you start off with "Closer to Fine" by the Indigo Girls. So talk about that song and why that landed on here.
Yes. Well, my brother and younger sister and I used to belt that song out at the top of our lungs in our childhood home. So it definitely had a importance to me in my childhood. But mostly, I think I chose that song because it's really about what the whole book is about. I think it's about just letting things be and just being in the moment. And I think oftentimes we think we have to have answers and we go running around trying to seek answers, and really it's when we get still and we get quiet, like I did in all of these ballparks, that the answers emerge. And so I think, you know, that line, the less I seek my source for some definitive, the closer I am to find, I think really defines the whole ballpark journey. And my mom was always trying to get me to just be in life, and I didn't really understand what she meant until I did the ballpark journey. So that's really why I selected it.
It is. I love that. I love the message of it. I love the song. The second I hit play on it, I just just started belting out the lyrics as well and just singing it out loud. It's impossible not to, you know. It's like a. I feel like it's a really good karaoke song potentially. But yeah, it's great. I mean, I think, yeah, this can be something that almost anyone can relate to at any point in their life. The lyrics that I love that kind of stood out to me is, I stopped by the bar at 3 a.m. to seek solace in a bottle or possibly a friend, woke up with a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before when I went in seeking clarity. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, like a lot of people, myself at some point, like you were like, okay, yeah, alcohol has the answers, right? Like that will free my mind. But in reality, you just wake up being like, oh my God, why did I do that? So yeah, I love the message of this song. It's really cool. And yes, like you said, the lesson there, just let it go. Just be. On that same note, we go right into track number two, Take It Easy by the Eagles. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, we listened to a lot of Eagles growing up at our home in Pasco Stan. I think this song is, you know, there's a line in there that says, lighten up while you still can. And again, my mom was always trying to get me to lighten up. She thought I took life a little too seriously. And I tell a story in the book about how I was playing softball and we were playing a team from far away in Louisiana, and they didn't have uniforms and we were up big. And all of a sudden in the middle of the game, the other team got a walk and I heard cheering from the other side. And I thought, that's interesting. I didn't think they had any fans at the game. The next batter came up to bat and she bunted to try to move the runner. And I heard clapping again. And I looked over and lo and behold, my mom is cheering for the other team. And I thought, what? And so after the game, I threw my equipment into the car and I was like, Mom, what were you doing? And of course, the words out of her mouth, which she said often, were like, lighten up, kid. That, you know, they were down by a lot. They needed some cheering. They didn't have any fans. And I just, this song is just a reminder to me about, like, just take it easy and lighten up and enjoy life. And I think, you know, it reminds me of Pasco Sham, Mississippi. And that's a place I write a lot about in the book. And I think that's kind of why I chose it.
So you pronounce that. Wait, in the book, I read it as Pass Christian. Is that how it's spelled?
That is exactly how it's spelled.
But how do you say it again?
Pass Christian.
Pass Christian, okay.
Yeah, or you can just call it the Pass.
The Pass, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Now, my brother lives in New Orleans, so I get down there. I mean, outside of 2020, I usually get down there once a year. And yeah, I'm always kind of fascinated by the way certain things are pronounced. And so,
yes.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like cities and towns do that to just like be able to identify really quickly if you're a tourist or if you actually live there.
It is, yeah.
Because like in New York City, there's a street that's spelled Houston, mm-hmm. but it's Houston. And so the first time I said, oh yeah, it's like south of Houston Street, everyone was like, okay, yeah, you actually live here, Samer.
That's such a good point.
It's just like, I was set up to fail. It's not my fault. This song is so easy to listen to, funny enough. Like it's just amazing that they would write not only beautiful lyrics to it, but also just like a sense of like you hear it and you just immediately relax. It's so fun. The question I had to two of you two, you can help me answer this. He has a line in there, right? The seven women are on my mind. Apparently the seven women are days of the week. So he says, you know, four that want to own me, two that want to stone me, and one that says she's a friend of mine. I'm really curious, what's the day that is a friend of his? Because I can kind of work out the other ones, right? Mm. Is Friday the friend of his? And Saturday and Sunday are the two that want to stone him?
I'm going to guess it's Sunday. Because four that want to own me, I feel like that jumps out to me as Monday through Thursday, like right. Your standard work days. And then right. The two that want to stone me, like I'm guessing that's a drug reference. And that's probably Friday and Saturday night for Glenn Frey in 1972. Yeah.
Did people do drugs in the 70s? I don't think that's...
You know, we're going to investigate that. Okay. I'm going to do a little deep dive. I'm just going to Google drugs and the 70s and see what comes up.
It's going to be no hits. No pun intended.
That's a good point. That would be my guess. Katie, any thoughts on the days of the week that they talk about?
You know, I like that theory a lot.
Okay.
I think that makes sense. And it's also linear. And I think he was probably being linear in his lyrics. So
yeah, very likely. Very likely. All right. So track three, we fast forward a little bit into a little bit more modern time, Better Days by Goo Goo Dolls. Now, I love this song, and the first time I heard it, it has kind of a Christmas theme to it, And as I did a little research, found out it was originally included, like Target put together one of those exclusive Christmas albums for their store. And Better Days was on it. But I'm guessing that's not why it's on the mix, but I just thought that was kind of a fascinating tidbit.
That is a fascinating tidbit. I would never have guessed that. Maybe the holidays are sort of the end of the year and it's implying that better days are coming in the new year. So it's sort of, maybe that was the premise
behind it.
I like that.
Okay.
For me, it has a much sort of significant meaning in regards to Hurricane Katrina. So that obviously everyone remembers and knows what happened and transpired for the city of New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit and the levees failed and totally filled up the entire city. And the Superdome was a space for people to go. And what happened was, for me, is that when I'm a huge New Orleans Saints fan, and when the Superdome reopened about a year, a little over a year, 13 months later after Katrina, the first game we played against our rivals, the Atlanta Falcons, which AKA we call them the Dirty Birds. And the Falcons went 3 and out in that first series. And then the next series, we had a block punt by Steve Gleason, returned for a touchdown. And right before that game started, the Goo Goo Dolls sang Better Days. And if people remember the images on their television screens, it was the Superdome with, you know, it was horrible. And so the stark contrast between what the Superdome symbolized just a short year before, which was like death and destruction, and now was this symbol of hope. And I think, you know, I got goosebumps when we blocked the kick and returned it. The whole stadium was shouting. And that song sort of ties me to that moment of hope and this symbol for, you know what, like tonight's the night the world begins again. And it was sort of a resurrection in many ways, if you will, for the city. It brought the city back to life again. And for me, I think going on the baseball journey was that same sort of feel. It was like my life's beginning again. And I think that's why I chose it. I think it's a fantastic song, and I think it's inspiring, and I think I love that tidbit you shared, Matt, as well. That's fascinating.
Well, there's a statue now of the Steve Gleason block punt right outside the Superdome.
Yes, there is.
That's so cool. I love that. I was kind of, now after Matt shared that thing, hoping that your story was just like, yeah, I had a really nice shopping one Christmas at Target, and the song just stuck with me ever since.
Right.
But your story is far more powerful and very beautiful. That's great. I love that. It's a great song. My sister, I was introduced to Goo Goo Dolls at a younger age because my sister was obsessed with Johnny Resnick. She had a huge John Resnick. Sorry, I had a huge crush on him. And so my bedroom was always filled with the sound of Goo Goo Dolls because she was blasting it next door.
I love it. They're
all
great.
Right. Track four, one of my all-time favorite songs, and this is actually, I feel like, such an undervalued band. So it's I Lived by One Republic. Before you get into it, I saw them in concert, and I mean, it blew my mind. I wasn't really expecting much from the concert because I was like, yeah, I know some One Republic songs. But he is so talented and like so amazing, and he actually is like a prolific songwriter for all these other artists, Ryan Tedder. And yeah, I just feel like One Republic has just amazing music. Like, their albums are so good. Anyway, tell us why this was track four.
Yeah, I agree, Samar. I think they're underrated as well. And this song is just so inspirational. And it's actually the song I listened to on my way to the last ballpark in my journey, which was Wrigley Field and the Chicago Cubs. And they were my mom and I's favorite team. And that night I was given the opportunity to throw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field. And
that's,
I had
awesome.
Dreamed of doing that as a little kid. Or I don't know if I dreamed of throwing the first pitch out, but I dreamed of being on the mound at Wrigley. And I would pretend in my backyard that, you know, it was the bottom of the ninth, full count, you know, bases loaded. And I was the one on the mound. And so I listened to this song in the shuttle on the way there. And it was so inspiring for me. I think it's a song about embracing ups and the downs and my mom was really good at that. She sort of took in the right turns, the wrong turns, all of it. She embraced everything. And I think, you know, this song is about just living your life. And I don't think I've ever felt more alive in my life than I did when I was doing the ballpark tour. And so I think that's why I chose it. And I love the line, "I hope when the crowd screams out, they're screaming your name." I think that was sort of a line that stuck with me as I pulled up to Wrigley Field and realized I would be in front of thousands of fans.
That's incredible.
On the field.
Well, and I loved in the book, you tell that story. You know, you're talking to your mom, obviously, in the letter, and the way you describe, you know, remember our neighbor Peyton, who you know, all said he wanted to be a quarterback. And, you know, you're referring to Peyton Manning, who was your neighbor growing up. But just the way you kind of wrote that kind of reminds, like, that's how I would talk to my mom about, like, our old neighbor. And, you know, yours just happened to be Peyton Manning. But, like, you know, my mom would probably only know our neighbors in that frame of reference. But I just love the way you wrote about that, because I guess by the way you wrote that, it sounded like he maybe made a call to get you to throw the first pitch at the Cubs game.
Yes, he did, Matt. I was very fortunate that he happened to have seen the ballpark tour through the media and reached out to them unbeknownst to me. I had no idea, and I received an email from the Chicago Cubs, but he was definitely behind it, which was such a gift and so kind of him to do.
No, I thought that was really cool. So speaking of, and this track five comes up, I think, in the letter about your last stop at Wrigley Field. So it's "Home" by Philip Phillips. So were they playing that, I guess, during that, or was that song just in your head, or did I have the wrong chapter?
No, you remembered it. Definitely, Matt. Good job. Exactly. Well, so I'll take you back to my cancer treatment first and tell you that I obviously love music and I'm just wowed by the concept of this podcast. I love it. And music is so healing for me, as I think it is for many. And so when I would go to radiation, which I had to do for 17 days straight, I would play a mix. And I had my sort of like pump up mix and my inspire mix. And this was a song on my mix that I would listen to on my way to MD Anderson. And when I sat down at Wrigley Field to throw out the first pitch before the game, this song came on. And I couldn't believe it. Of all the songs that they could have played, it was sort of my radiation anthem. And I think for me, I listened to it because it helped me to feel not so alone on my cancer journey. It was certainly hard not to have my mom there to support me going through it. And I think I just love the line, "Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons. They fill you with fear. Trouble, it might drag you down. If you get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone." And so as I would go alone to this radiation appointment, you know, I never really felt alone. I felt my mom's presence. And when it played that night in Wrigley Field, I thought, oh my gosh, my mom is here with me 100%.
I love that. That's so amazing. That gives me like goosebumps to hear it. I think that's so powerful. That's incredible. It's amazing too, because those are the exact lyrics that I was going to bring up, because those stood out to me, you know, listening to this song, because it's so powerful. Again, it's like I emailed Katie before our podcast just saying, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this playlist, because it's like such a feel good, like especially these first, you know, couple songs, like they just empower you and they make you feel so strong. And you know, I think that, again, another universal message, like don't let the fear stop you from, you know, being you and from being great and from doing what you know you can do. So finding that strength and pushing forward is really powerful. I love it. Great, great pick. So moving on, track six then, you've got "Rocky Mountain High" by John Denver, a classic. Tell us about this one.
Yes. Well, again, I talk in the story in Past Christian, which was, you know, definitely a sort of fifth character in the book. It was our happy place as a family. And I write a letter to my mom about a 4th of July there. And I talk a lot about the experience. And one of the things that sticks out in my mind is always being underneath our house, because the house was on stilts because it was right near the Gulf of Mexico. And so underneath the house, we would do, you know, crawfish boils, or we would eat crabs. And so I tell the story about, you know, going out and getting the crabs and then boiling them and doing it. And forever I will think of that moment as John Denver playing in the background. And, you know, you could smell pool chlorine on all of us and the tractor gasoline because the garage was right next door. And it just takes me, it's like a heightened sensory experience. And so it reminds me of just happy times with my family. And I could have picked really any song by John Denver on his greatest hits list, but I think I chose this one because it's also a song I kept playing when I went to see the Rockies play. And it's just a happy, fun sort of travel song.
Yeah, and in 2007, it was adopted as the second state song of Colorado. It's like an official state song of theirs. The other one, I was like, oh, I wonder what the other one is. And no one's going to guess this, so I'm just going to say it. It's called Where the Columbines Grow. And that was adopted in 1915. So apparently a really old-timey song. So they went super old-timey and then fast forward and they adopted the John Denver song later. But I thought that was
interesting. I love that fact.
Yeah, look at that.
It's such a beautiful song, too. It's funny because apparently some radio stations refused to play it because they thought it promoted drug use because of some lines about just, you know, being high up and experiencing experiencing the beauty of Colorado, which is, it's funny because, you know, his retort to that was like, they clearly have never spent a night out in the Rocky Mountains. And it's, I love that because I had actually spent one night camping on the side of a mountain in Colorado. It was like part of a summer camp thing, no tent, like just in a sleeping bag. I woke up in the middle of the night and literally my first thought, you know, sometimes like those first couple seconds, you don't really know where you are because you're in somewhere unusual. I was just like, why is the light still on? Like someone turn off the light. And then I realized that I was just looking up at a full sky of stars. And it's just so incredible because, you know, growing up in a city, you never see it. You're like, oh, there's the moon. And like, that's about it. So it's really, yeah, it's amazing. But I just thought that was so funny that they thought, you know, that some just refused to play it for that reason.
That is interesting. I also think it's like, you know, the emotional high, right?
Yes.
You get on like camping in the Rocky Mountains, like you just described, and just the high of emotions that being in nature creates, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's part of, you know, for us, Pascoe Shan was an outdoor space for us to roam free and run free. And you get a high off of that.
Well, and Katie, you talk about in the book about going on different retreats, you know, various kinds. And those are usually, you know, anybody who's ever been on a retreat, you go out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like it's never like, you know, on the west side of Manhattan or something.
Yes, exactly. I think you have to get away from the noise, right, in order to hear your own emotions and thoughts.
Listen, Matt, there are parts of Central Park that are just like, you can barely hear the sirens,
beautiful.
Okay?
It's a beautiful place to be. However,
yeah. It is gorgeous.
I don't know how much healing is going on there. I feel like you have to be too hyper aware of people sneaking up on you.
Right.
Okay, let's get to track 7. Now, this is the first time in our podcast short history that a song is coming up again on a mix. And it's such a great song. Why wouldn't it? I'm sure it's not the last time we'll see it. But Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. Now, you went on a baseball journey, so I'm pretty sure I know the ballpark that this is in reference to.
Yes. Did you guess Boston Red Sox?
I did, yes.
Go figure. Yes, well, as you know, Matt, that they play it in between the eighth inning. And I think it's, you know, its purpose is sort of get the crowd lifted and behind the home team as you come through the final stretch of the bottom of the eighth and the ninth inning. For me, I chose it because I think the baseball journey and baseball in general helped remind me that you're connected to something bigger than yourself. And I think that's such an important thing and something we really need more of today. So like no matter your political beliefs or even your team affiliation that day or race or gender identity, for that moment, you're connected to something bigger than yourself. And name a time when Sweet Caroline came on and people didn't embrace, you know, wrap arms around each other and start singing the song and belting it out. I can't think of one. And I think it speaks to the power of the song and what it does for people in a moment that brings people together.
I love music for that reason. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think, you know, in the now a distant memory, but hopefully won't be for long, of going to concerts. Like, you're just, you look around you and you're like, there are so many different types of people I'm surrounded by right now. And like you just said, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, you're there to just feel and like, you know, lose yourself to the music and to the crowd. And it's like a beautiful, wonderful thing. And yeah, I think it is impossible to listen to this song and not be in like a happy, you know, comforted mood. Basically, it's awesome. We move on to a jazz classic. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans by Louis Armstrong?
Yes, this is sort of probably the one you were like, whoa, does this fit? It's definitely a different style of music, but it is such an important song to my identity. And I think, Matt, you mentioned that your brother lives in New Orleans. And I think unless you've lived there for any sort of extended period of time, it's hard to appreciate sort of the soul of New Orleans and how much the city becomes a part of your identity. And so I certainly talk a lot about New Orleans in the book and its role in who I am today. And, you know, I just recently visited. I had been away for a while because of, you know, obviously with COVID, and I just forgot how important it is for me. And so I included it on the mix because, one, I can't not include something about New Orleans. And it reminds me of my mom, because in the end, I think the song, you know, is like what it means to miss New Orleans, but then it's also the people that make the space too. And it certainly reminds me of my mom and growing up, and so that's why I included it. And I mean, Louis Armstrong is kind of awesome, so
he is kind of awesome. Yeah, and you know, New Orleans, you talk about the soul of it, and I mean, I love the food, and you know, your mom owned a couple of restaurants, and I remember visiting my brother a couple of years ago, and I just started laughing when he, you know, we're trying to figure out a place to eat, and you know, you go to Dallas or you go to New York, you know, any major city, and it's all these restaurant concepts, right? It's like, oh, it's a new dessert place called Slice, and you're eating pie in the dark, and you know, there's rusty nails strewn about the floor. Like, it's got this weird experience to it, right? You go to New Orleans, and it's like, hey, where are we going to go to eat? And the restaurants are like all named after people. So it's like there's Katie's, there's Tom's, and then you're going into like somebody's old house, and they're just serving you. And I'm like, this is like, that's what I really love about New Orleans. On top of the food is amazing anywhere you go. But then also just the names of the restaurants are like, you're just going to someone's house and eating food, you know?
Yes.
That's amazing. So whenever true. On my last trip to New Orleans, we didn't know where we wanted to eat. So we honestly just followed the police officers, and wherever they were going to stop to eat, like we would eat there too, because we were like, they must know the food better than anyone in this city. So, and they, you know, they were not wrong. It was delicious. Every place we ate, it was like hard to go wrong in that city. It's so fun.
Oh my God, I love that. That's such a cool concept. Just follow the police wherever they eat. That's amazing. I mean, name anybody who doesn't have a story from New Orleans.
Right.
Like, everybody has a story that if you visited, that sticks out in their mind as being special.
No, it's definitely it's a unique and very special American city. I love that my brother lives there so that I have an excuse to go there at least once a year. All right, so track 9, Into the Mystic by Van Morrison. I love this song. This was a song that I included on one of the mixes I made for my wife before we were married. You know, now that I say that, it sounds like I really haven't made a mix for her lately. So I should get back on that now that I'm talking about it. But while we were dating, it was a little more frequent. We didn't have kids to distract us. That's it. I'll blame the kids. That's usually a good excuse. But Into the Mystic, this is a beautiful song. I love it. Found out it was originally titled Into the Misty. He was naming all these songs after women, but as he was writing the song, there were all these ephemeral lyrics that came up, and I really love the lyrics in the song, but that's why he changed it to Mystic, because he just felt it was like going away from just this sort of, you know, quite person-to-person connection that he had originally wanted to write about. But Katie, why did you include this one on your mix?
Well, I love that you told that, because I think for me, this song is a, like a spiritual song, mm-hmm. right? And it my journey was certainly, my baseball ballpark journey was certainly a spiritual one. And so I think by him just changing that one little word in the title, I think it also sort of shifts it from being about, you know, people and literal to this sort of spiritual journey we're all on, right, in some ways. And I think it talks a lot about water in there, and water is such a healing thing for me, certainly, and I think for a lot of people. And, you know, growing up in Pastor Stan on the Gulf, water was certainly an important piece for us. It's actually where we spread my mom's ashes. And so this song kind of reminds me about embracing the sort of mystery and the magic of life, and just sort of along, being along for the ride and into the journey and into the mystic, and being okay with transitions and changes. And it hits me at the soul level.
It is really beautiful. I highlighted the lyrics that really stood out to me were, when the foghorn blows, I will be coming home. And when the foghorn blows, I want to hear it. I don't have to fear it. And I just think it's, again, very similar themes to a lot of the other songs in this mix of just, let it go, like let go of the wheel, so to speak, like just enjoy and have no fear. And, at the end of the day, like we all come home again, whatever that means to you and your spiritual beliefs. I think that that's just such a powerful message. So I really like this song a lot. Great pick. Another one, track 10, which is just such a feel good anthem. You've got This Is Me by Keyla Settle. Yes. Which listeners may also know it as, I think like the Kesha version got played a lot too. She has a cover of this, because this is from the movie The Greatest Showman, I believe. Yeah. So tell us about this one.
Yes, it is from that movie. And this song just gets me fired up. I'll find myself listening to watching the YouTube version of when they were practicing the song with Hugh Jackman. And if you need to like pump me up, just go Google that and listen to that, and it gets me fired up for the day. And I think, it's obviously a song about self-acceptance. It's about learning to love yourself and all the scars and mistakes we make in life. And I think that's what my ballpark journey did for me, is it helped me to finally learn to love myself and all the trauma I had experienced in life, and to embrace that as being who I am. And, this is me. And, I love me, and it's okay that these things have happened in my life. And so for me, it's really an anthem of self-acceptance.
No, this is a fantastic song. My kids love this song. My kids love the whole like Greatest Showman soundtrack and movie. So I've seen and listened to this, I don't know, hundreds of times probably, because once kids get into something, you just have to watch it over and over, right?
Exactly.
But no, this is a great one, and definitely falls in line with the rest of the mix as far as being inspirational. Now let's talk about this next song. And I think, again, having read your book, I think I kind of know where this one fits in. But Can't Help Falling in Love, you choose the Ingrid Michaelson version. This was originally an Elvis song. And then some, early 90s fans out there might know it as a UB40 song. But let's try to forget about UB40. Let's try to just remember Elvis and Ingrid Michaelson, because I love Ingrid Michaelson. But let's talk about this one and why it's on the mix.
Sure. Well, I think it follows nicely after This Is Me, because in order to fall in love, I think you have to learn to love yourself first. And so it wasn't until I sort of did that in my ballpark journey where I started to learn to fall in love with my mom and learn to fall in love with life again. I had been really down for the count for several years with the cancer treatment and going through grueling chemotherapy and radiation and, a year-long thing called Lhermitte sign, where I couldn't walk for a year without being shocked. And so this was about, once I learned to love myself again, I fell in love with baseball all over again, doing my journey. And I fell in love with my mom, and I fell in love with life. And what do you know it? Once that all happened, the love of my life walked in, and I fell in love, and I got married. And so this is actually the song my husband and I recently just walked down the aisle to. So it has a lot of different meanings, but I think ultimately it's about falling in love with yourself and life, and then it allows you to fall in love with the person, whoever that may be, to connect with.
It's a lovely song. I love the lines, you know, take my hand and then take my whole life too. Because I think that that's is this something we can all relate to where you meet someone and you're like, okay, let's start, you know, go on a date or something like the take my hand. And then it's like, okay, yeah, why don't you move in with me and we'll just do this full time. It's such a fun feeling. So track 12. You've got to round out this incredible mix. You've got The Dance by Garth Brooks. And before you get into it, so I just want to tell you my journey with the song, because as listeners probably know, I'm not like the keenest on country. It's not like my go-to. I've been, you know, being very open-minded and trying to like really embrace it and, you know, in the spirit of the podcast now. And so at first I was like, oh my God, country. And then I started to like listen to it, and then I read the lyrics, and then I started to connect to it. And then my reaction was, oh my God, I just connected to a country song. So that was my journey with this one. I had like an emotional awakening of just like, wow, sometimes it can be, it's like what Matt has said many times to me, it can be very powerful and very like real. Like the story is going to be so real and relatable. So tell us about The Dance by Garth Brooks.
That's how you know it's a good song, right? If it piques your interest and it's not particularly a genre you tend to gravitate towards.
Right.
And I think that I ended the podcast with this song because, well, one, it was one of my mom's favorite songs. And two, I actually love country music. My favorite, if I could meet anyone, any musician, it would be Garth Brooks. I actually at Trinity, Matt, had a poster of him in my dorm room. I mean,
that's amazing.
That is love right there.
That is.
I mean, it's embarrassing almost to admit to people now, but
well, it would be embarrassing if it was a Chris Gaines poster. Okay.
But yeah. Right. Yeah. Good point. Exactly. So, you know, I ended it with this because in the end, like I could have missed the pain of we lost our childhood home in Katrina. I could have missed the pain of losing my mom earlier, or even smaller pains, right, in life. And you can, you know, wish for those things to go away. But ultimately, if you don't have those things, it's hard to enjoy the dance, right? Mm-hmm. And life is filled with ups and downs, and I think it's the downs that allow you to actually really embrace the dance and how fulfilling that is and how beautiful the dance is. And so I think that's why I ended the podcast with it.
No, I think it's very fitting. Yeah, given the baseball journey and you know, the book and everything you talked about today, I mean, I think this is a very fitting song and a great song to end on. Like Samer said, yes, it's a country song, but I think one of the things Garth Brooks just generally did and part of his popularity was that he kind of transcended country music and when it was really the first crossover star, you know, and Taylor Swift obviously has done that since then and some other country music stars, but he was really the first and one of the biggest. So, and the song was in no small part, of that popularity. So,
yeah, that's such a good point. He really sings about and embraces the human experience, not just, you know, what maybe people who gravitate towards country music experience in life. So I think that's such a great point. And I think all of these songs are really about, it's a story, you know, as you guys say, you know, a mixtape tells a story, and this is the story of hope. And it's about being inspired by music to live a more fulfilled life. And so thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for putting together such an amazing mix. This is going to be on repeat for some time for me. So I love it. It's always such a joy to find a mixtape like this. Thank you.
No, it's amazing. Yeah. No, thank you so much for being on the show. Now, where can you can get the book, A Season with Mom? I bought mine on Amazon, but I'm assuming it's is it in bookstores everywhere?
Yeah, it's wherever you can find books. And obviously, I love to, you know, I use Amazon for a lot of things too, and also local bookstores in your neighborhood you can pick it up at. And if you go to my website, katierussellnewland.com, it'll have all the different places where you can buy it online.
That's great. We'll definitely include a link to that in our show notes, so be sure to check that out, in addition to the link to her mix on Spotify and on Apple Music and our super awesome mix app. So check the show notes and take a listen and definitely check out and read her book. Matt, where can people find more of us?
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Super Awesome Mix. So go ahead and follow us there and subscribe and share the show, share this mix. Definitely go buy the book. Like I said, I just read it. I loved it. And you know, you don't have to be a baseball fan to really get into this book and really enjoy it. So I will say that I am a baseball fan, but you know, the book is about so much more than that. So definitely worth your time to go and check it out. Samer, what else do we have going on? We've got a merch store now, and we've got a Patreon account, right?
Yes, we do have a new Patreon account. So we'll also include links to that in our show notes. So please check it out. Help support the podcast so that Matt and I can keep bringing on amazing guests such as Nick, Katie, and everyone else that we've had on the show so far, and keep growing and helping us rediscover the nearly lost art of the mixtape and bring it to even more people around the world.
So, Katie, we've got a new ballpark here in Dallas, and the Texas Rangers have a new park. So have you gotten a chance to come out yet?
I have not. Okay. Have you seen
well,
it?
Yes, I've gone. I went a couple weeks ago. It's amazing. You know, I love the old ballpark, Globe Life Park, but this was definitely an upgrade, I got to say. Yeah, definitely worth it.
I'm hoping that there's more places to get escape the heat. The last one was so hot.
It was so hot, yes. But now we've got a roof now. Okay, it's not that bad. But if you're in the area, awesome. Let me know, okay? And we'll check out a game.
I will. I'd love that.
But thank you again for coming on, and for Katie and for Samer. This is Matt, and we'll see you next time with another super awesome mix. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.